Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Esports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Luke Swain, Vegas Refund, NBA draft better, NHL draft better. He's just a great draft better in general. We will have him on to try to get some last minute thoughts in terms of what we think is going to happen, what we know, what we think we know, any sort of bets. And as I talked about on Monday, and doing this on a Tuesday just because we want to get this up before the draft, just doing a preview before the draft makes more sense from a betting perspective, a betting podcast perspective, than doing a review where you just, you know, go over what picks happened and, you know, what upsets in terms of the draft may have happened. There's just not that much meat on the bone in terms of reviewing it, but previewing it, hopefully we can find some value, find some bets. But, you know, kind of reiterate what I said on the Monday pod. Remember in years past, just having a lot of bets, a lot of betting intrigue, you know, the Paolo Jabari Smith year in 2022, that was a huge, like, watershed betting moment in terms of who was going one, and Woj saying it was Jabari and the betting market saying otherwise, and the tug of war back and forth. It ends up being Paolo Banchero. Woj was saying it was Jabari Smith and the betting market was saying it was Paolo. And you know, I would still love to get, I don't think we'll ever get it, the full story. I've had people off the record tell me what the real story is, that, you know, maybe people from Orlando, there was some shenanigans there, if you can read between the lines, about purposely misguiding people and maybe driving that number up a certain way. And who knows? I think if the true story ever got out on the Paolo Banchero one, I think that's a 30 for 30, but I don't think that full story is ever going to come out. But the next year, 2023, was the Wemby year, but then it was a big controversy, but big debate. Who's going to go to? Is it going to be Scoot Henderson? Is it going to be Brandon Miller? And you could have gotten some big numbers both ways. That was another somewhat controversial one where Shams tweeted, I remember because doing pods or doing shows the next day, he kind of breaking down his tweet. He left it in a way, I think he was working for FanDuel at the time. He was. That was before he worked for ESPN, where he said there's growing optimism or there's momentum, where it was really kind of a nothing burger when he said it, where if it was right, he could have said he was right. And if it was wrong, there was really nothing to be wrong about. He kind of left himself some wiggle room where just growing belief, growing optimism, something along that lines. But it ended up being Brandon Miller, which was a big upset. But this is just not a year where, yeah, you have that. There's not, I mean, DeBonsa's the favorite. I don't think people would be shocked if it's Peterson. Anything outside of those two, I think people would be shocked. I mentioned last week, you know, why not take a shot at Boozer, number one? That doesn't seem like it's going to happen. But seems like it'll be DeBonsa. Still outside chance against Peterson. But again, not a ton of betting juice, not a ton of markets up. And I think the fact that it's on a Tuesday instead of a Thursday, it just gives people less time to get excited for it, because we finally, you know, first full weekend without the NBA Finals, without the NHL. If you had it on a Thursday, you'd have 3 or 4 days here to have the momentum, the discussion grow, and just have it gain some momentum from a sports talk, sports betting perspective, and have people get excited for it, build up some enthusiasm, build up some anticipation. The fact that it just goes so quickly into Tuesday, I guess that's part of the reason why, but it's a good draft too. It's not like, oh, you know, it's a lousy draft and there's no buzz for it. It's a really good draft. And I mentioned, you know, too, the other day, that it's a draft where you've heard of a lot of the players. I mean, the top four, they all played in college. Granted, they're not around for 3 or 4 years. Granted, not all these guys, you know, made deep runs in the tournament. But, you know, Boozer played in Elite Eight. Caleb Wilson was the exception because he got hurt and he didn't play in the tournament, even though UNC made it. DeBonsa, you saw him for a game or two. And, you know, Peterson, you saw him for a game or two. And it's not like these guys were around forever, but at least you know who they are. The UConn guys are in the mix, Terrace Reed, Caravan, you know, later in the first round. You got the Arizona guys, Pete and Burry. So you at least got some guys you're familiar with. But the more, and we'll talk to Luke coming up, the more I read, the more just talking to people, consensus seems to be chalk that we're not getting the curveball. It's going to be DeBonsa, Peterson. 1, 2, 3 will be Boozer, and 4 will be Caleb Wilson from North Carolina. Then the draft kind of starts at 5. So we'll see. The big curveball, a couple curveballs here on Monday. This was out of nowhere. Dusty, man, I had forgotten the Mavs didn't have a coach. I mean, these NBA coaching hires kind of go under the radar, especially they happen during the playoffs. You know, guys get hired or fired. But I'd kind of forgotten that Dallas didn't have a coach. And Dusty May, the national championship coach from Michigan, goes to the Mavs. These college deals, these college coaches to the NBA, I mean, that's a low percentage success rate. Granted, this is different you know, Calipari, Patino. I mean, there's others throughout the years. But most of the reason these guys don't succeed is because you go to a team. I mean, why does an NBA coach, why does an NBA team fire the coach? Why is the opening even exist? Usually because it's a bad team and you don't have enough talent. He's actually going, and this is probably part of the reason he went. I'm sure it's a big part of the reason he went, aside from being sick of college and having to re-recruit your own team. It sounds like just coaching college in general is a headache, if not a nightmare. You got Cooper Flack. You got a guy who's, you know, 20, 21 years old that you can build around, and you've got a building block. Granted, you're in a tough division. Granted, you're in a tough conference. All of that. You got Wembanyama. You got OKC. Lakers have Luka. But, hey, you got Cooper Flack. You've at least got a shot. You've got a guy, and you can kind of be, you got a pick in this draft, ninth. Maybe he takes one of his guys, Mara, Lindenberg, Maurice Johnson, these three guys, and their odds all plummeted to go ninth. With the idea that, you know, maybe May picks one of his Michigan guys, which would certainly make some sense. But, I mean, I don't know that it's going to work out, but one at Florida Atlantic, one big at Michigan, great basketball mind, very different games, college and the pros, but it's getting less and less different, I guess you could say that. And it's at least a younger team or an older team, maybe. You know, Beeline's another one, by the way. Michigan went from Michigan to the Cavs, was an absolute disaster. Maybe May is more adaptable, not like, doesn't seem like a screamer and yeller where that stuff really gets tuned out right away, especially by a veteran team. He's a younger guy. He's going to be coaching a younger team. Maybe it works. Maybe it's a rare situation where it works and he's taking over a situation with some talent and with some promise, unlike a lot of these other scenarios. So Dusty May, man, just a few years ago, he's nobody ever heard of him. He's coaching Florida Atlantic. They go to a Final Four, gets the Michigan job, and here he is in the NBA. And you're seeing more and more of these guys very quick to run and hide from these college jobs, saying, "You know, I won my championship. I made some money. I'm going to get out," because they just don't want the headache. I mean, look at all the guys that retired pretty young when the NIL era started to come about. Saban got out. Krzyzewski got out. Jay Wright got out. And you're seeing more and more, even if it's just like, you know, the coordinator is going from coordinator in, or head coach in college to coordinator in the NFL. That's becoming, yeah, more and more common. So we'll see. We'll see if this draft gets some juice. Clippers pick 5. I was waiting until possibly a Giannis resolution to record this, but, you know, I'm not going to wait forever. You guys know where I stand on that. I think he goes to Boston. Maybe by the time you listen to this, he's on the Heat. Maybe by the time you listen to this, he's on the Celtics, and I've been proven right. Either way, I'm not going to talk to him blue in the face about this. You guys know where I stand, and I'll either be right or I'll be wrong. And it does sound like it's possible. It just seems like what I was saying on the Monday one, where if Milwaukee really wanted the Miami offer, I'll keep screwing up Milwaukee-Miami. If Milwaukee really wanted the Miami offer, that offer's been on the table for a while. They would have just done it and pulled the trigger. Seems like that was a leverage play to try to get more out of Boston. It's possible. Who knows that that worked. So I would expect him to be on the Celtics. It's not done until it's done, and we'll see here if Miami can cobble together enough stuff and beat the Boston offer and kind of go from there. The one development was that, you know what, Jaylen Brown in Milwaukee, he wouldn't mind staying. They wouldn't mind having him. So this idea they're going to flip him for a pick, maybe there's not a lot of truth to that, and this doesn't affect the draft as much as we might think. So we'll see. NBA draft is always a fun night. Again, weird on a Tuesday, kind of snuck up, but a lot of talent, a lot of guys you heard of. Even the guys in like the 5, 10, 15 range, it's not just a 4-player draft. And I think there's a drop-off after 4, but there's a good 10, 15 guys. And this is a draft with so much talent. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody late first round, early second round, you know, ends up being borderline all-star, that kind of player. I just think it's that good of a draft, that deep of a draft. So it should be a lot of fun. We'll see if we get any curveballs, any fireworks here in terms of surprises, but not much in terms of bets. We'll see if Luke Swain can talk me into anything, out of anything. He's always got great intel, and he's great about reading the tea leaves and interpreting all these mock drafts and trying to gain value and glean bets from that. So coming up is Luke Swain, Vegas Refund. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we're back. Should Have Bet More podcast, and he's a popular man this time of the year. There's nobody better when it comes to betting, not just the NBA draft, but all drafts. And he joins us now, Vegas Refund, Luke Swain. Luke, what's up, man? Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get to some specific things and just go through the picks, you know, my take has been, you know, usually the NBA draft, I got a bunch of bets and you know, a couple years ago it went great. Last year was a small loser. I haven't sensed a lot of buzz just from a betting standpoint. I don't know if it's because it's on a Tuesday. The Giannis thing, as recording this, he has not been traded yet. And that seems to be happening any day, any minute now. Have you gotten a sense where there's just not as much buzz, as many markets involved, that kind of thing in terms of this draft?
Yeah, I mean, this year, this cycle has definitely been one of the more difficult NBA draft cycles where things have gone up later, which you kind of expect things to go up later every single year. But books like DraftKings, which kind of are the originator in terms of like the over-unders, and then everyone kind of mimics them, have put up way less this year than they have in the past. And they even pulled the majority of their over-unders, I'm assuming based off of the Giannis trade, just waiting for that to happen. But the options have been very limited. It's definitely frustrating. I hate that it's on a Tuesday as well. I still can't believe it's tomorrow. But yeah, this year has been a struggle.
Yeah, and I feel like if it was on a Thursday, I know the last couple of years they moved it up to having it two parts, one part Wednesday, one part Thursday. Even that extra day, the extra 2 days just gives a week. You know, with NBA done, NHL done, it gives it a week for the drama to build where there's nothing else going on. And, you know, once Giannis does get traded, people could turn their attention to the draft. I just feel like Tuesday it comes out of nowhere. And, you know, was it 4 years ago now, which is hard to believe, we had the Jabari Smith-Paolo drama. And that was a landmark kind of betting moment in terms of drafts and just following that all day. I'll still remember just being glued to my phone all day trying to figure out what was what. And then the year after, we had Scoot and Brandon Miller, which was also fascinating with the odds flipping back and forth this year. I don't get the sense we have one of those things, you know, this year. We'll just start with the number one pick. DeBonza, a big favorite. You buying it? You think this is a done deal? Not so sure. Where are you here with what the Wizards are going to do?
Yeah, honestly, I'm buying all the chalk right now, at least one through four. I think it's DeBonza one, Peterson two, which right before we're recording, it came out that Peterson visited with the Jazz over the weekend, which we've been under the impression that he was only visiting the Wizards up until now, which that came out, which kind of reaffirms him going to an extent. And then Boozer and Wilson, which, I mean, in terms of this being a betting podcast, I think you can bet any of those. I think you can bet Peterson to go two, Boozer to go three, which right now I think it's minus 140, minus 150, or even Exacta, like an Exacta is one through four right now, or even money, which at this point is a good bet.
What if you were training someone on like how to do what you do, and you're, like I said, and this is no, you know, not blowing smoke. You're one of the originators of how do you do, like, what is your process? Are there a couple main mock drafts you follow? Is there information you have access to that other people don't? If you were training someone, tutoring someone in terms of like how to bet the draft, what is your process like? How would you explain it?
I think the first thing is just having perspective on the draft odds and understanding that they really are just like fake odds. I mean, the holds are just insane, where the quote unquote value like really doesn't exist. And especially this year where the odds are just unrealistic, where we have odds for picks 1 through 20 and picks 15 through 20, there's nothing above 10 to 1. And that's like the most volatile area. And they're just honestly books, like this is a one-sided betting market where the people betting into the drafts most likely know what they're doing, and everything is going to move super quick. For me, how I started was really kind of just aggregating mock drafts and using it as somewhat of like a foundation to basically understand who's going to go where. And then you have your core guys where like NFL, you have the core guys, NBA, you have the core guys, or like NBA, it's going to be like Wasserman, Wu, O'Connor, Peak. It's brutal that we don't have Givony anymore because he left ESPN. But those are the ones that move the needle for me, and then kind of aggregating them to a few others. And not overreacting to news, I think, is probably the number one thing as well, where there is smoke, there's going to be tweets. I mean, I think Paolo Banchero is a great example of Waj tweeting out that, who was it? I forget who it was, going to, and that was just incorrect. And letting the dust settle and then making moves, where if I bet off of everything that came out, I would just be betting against myself eventually.
Did Gavoni leave ESPN, or was it Schmitz, the guy that left, and I think he's with the Blazers now? I thought I heard Gavoni on a recent podcast. I could be mixing up the two.
Yeah, Gavoni, they just didn't renew his contract, I believe.
Oh, so okay.
He popped on two podcasts, like, independently, but it's been, he was, like, the number one guy, like, that was basically just telling you what was going to happen, and not having him has been, I miss him, but there's still some other guys out there, like, Jeremy Wu has been great for ESPN, that you have to take note when they put a mock draft out.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, too, because I think for the NFL, most people would agree Jeremiah and that Jeremiah mock draft the night before has become like a yearly tradition. Like, all right, the final one is out and we all, you know, check it like it's yeah. The Bible. Is there an NBA equivalent for Jeremiah or not necessarily?
I would say it was Gavoni previously, but if I was to like the core guys, like Wu, who's with ESPN, Peak, who is somewhat independent. Kristen Peek, Peek has been fantastic in years past. Probably the best. Wasserman with Bleacher. And then you have Vicini, who's with Athletic. And then an under-the-radar guy is Matt Babcock, who has his own website. And then Finkelstein, to a lesser extent, who's with CBS. Those are like the guys that when they put out a mock draft, like you're looking at immediately. And I'm aggregating those as well.
Is it where does your confidence that it's DeBonzo one to Washington? Where does that come from? Is it pretty much consensus? Is there anyone saying it's not DeBonzo? And if it's not, is it just the obvious counter is it's going to be Peterson? We don't get any curveball like Boozer. It's probably not going to be Caleb Wilson. Just give me your thoughts on why you're so confident it's DeBonzo, or if you are confident, that's just kind of the direction you're leaning.
I think it's more. I just have no legitimate reason to think otherwise now. I don't have any action on the number one pick, but like we just went through that list of mock drafters or quote unquote experts that we want to pay attention to. And I want to say four of the six had new mock drafts come out this morning, and all four had chalk 1 through 4. All four had AJ 1, all four had Darren Peterson 2, Boozer 3, Caleb Wilson 4, where going against that would just be, it wouldn't make sense, especially at like the odds where like you have such a consensus right now and Peterson to go 2 is like plus 150 when it should be like probably 5-1, 6-1, 7-1 or higher. That's what I mean in terms of like the fake odds where Peterson should not be plus 150 to go number one. That's not real. Books are just basically scared, so they do that.
Interesting. All right. So if we believe the top four, which is, that is going to be the top four, barring something shocking in some order. The draft starts at 5. I think with the Clippers, I thought for a moment there was some buzz last week that by the time you listen to this, it's possible Giannis is traded. I thought possible Giannis goes to the Celtics, the Clippers send the 5th pick to the Bucks, then the Bucks are picking at 5. That seems less likely. It seems like, if it is Brown to the Bucks, the Brown doesn't mind that, the Bucks don't mind that, and the 5th pick doesn't become involved in the Clippers stick and pick, so to speak. If the Clippers are picking at 5, what's your sense here in terms of what direction they go? Any bets you would make or recommend?
Yeah, so this is where the draft technically starts. Right now, if I was making a mock draft personally, I would put Michael Brown at 5, which I think he's the slight favorite to go 5. I think he's plus 210. Where Michael Brown, every tea leaf that you're reading, whether it's in a mock draft or listening to a podcast, is that the Clippers aren't going to be trading out, and Michael Brown is the guy that they have the most interest in. It's not Michael. The trendy guy is Keaton Wagler. That's the one I don't buy. to go five, but he keeps popping up in mock drafts, and it would be reckless not to think that he has a legitimate chance there. Where Michael's over under, I think, is 5.5, and Wagler's is 7.5. Where if Wagler doesn't go five, then that one gets super interesting. He could fall to 8, which him going 8, I think, is like 6-1 or 7-1 right now. But if I was putting money on it right now, Michael Brown to go 5, which instead of betting the exact pick with him, I think you can, a couple books offer like 1 through 5 exactas, which if you throw him in, instead of getting like plus 200 for him to go 5, you can get like plus 500 for like a 5-pick exacta, which is basically, in theory, just betting him to go 5.
Nets pick 6, Kings pick 7. Obviously, and I always remind people this stuff, whether it's, you know, you're betting the Super Bowl and you're betting the props or you're betting the draft, you know, be careful of hidden correlation where, hey, I make 10 different bets. Well, you know what? If you're making 10 different bets all based on how you think the draft is going to go, yeah, you could have a great night or you could just get wiped out. So be careful of that. But
I could not agree more with that. And I should have brought that, like, in terms of, like, someone betting in the draft, if I wanted to give them, like, initial tips, and I learned it the hard way early on. Is not having too many bets that, like, not having too many bets, let's just say, in the top 10, where for all of them to hit, you basically have to predict the top 10 to happen. And if there's one ripple, whether it's a trade or it's just not going that way, like, they're all going to lose. So you want to spread them out. Like, you want to have equal amount of overs, equal amount of unders, where if one guy goes over, that's going to pull someone down. And, like, having 3 under 10.5s or 11.5, 13.5, like, you are really, you have very little room for error in terms of what's going to happen. And there's always going to be something crazy happening. And all of your bets are going to get wiped out if they're almost too correlated.
I've been there. People that bet the draft, we've all been there.
Well.
Yep. But that being said, Nets 6, Kings 7. Any idea, or it's just kind of a guess at this point?
So if Michael goes 5, so Michael doesn't go 5, he's going to go 6, I think is the assumption. But if he goes 5, then we're looking at Wagler or Acuff. Eileen or Ament, I guess, where don't bet with your opinion because you're not making these decisions. Where personally, I don't think Wagler goes 6, but based off of the people I want to believe, him going 6 makes a lot of sense. So I would probably say Wagler 6 if Michael goes 5, which those two are basically like flip-flop. One goes 5, the other's probably going to go 6. If one goes 6, the other's going to go 5.
How about just sleepers to go in the first round? That's been a market that's been, that pops up again. Not all this stuff widely available, and you kind of have to have a lot of outs to hopefully, you know, have these markets. But do you have any sleeper of like, all right, this guy's an underdog to go in round 1 or a long shot to go in round 1, but you think he could go in, you know, in the top 30 so picks?
So prior to like the Dusty May becoming the head coach for the Mavs, where you might just be getting baited into this, but if the Mavs keep that pick at 9, you have 3 Michigan guys that are projected to go between 11 and 14, who all, Mara, who is the center, Adai Mara, who's a center out of Michigan, he has been like the most projected to go to the top 10. But Merez Johnson has been a guy that has been quote unquote rising, where if Dusty May wants to get one of his guys, I can see him going 9, which I haven't seen a mock draft with Merez Johnson in the top 10. And then Yaxel Lendeborg, I don't think will go in the top 10, but who knows? We all of a sudden have this variable of a coach picking in the top 10 that has 3 guys in that range that he just won a national championship with. I would say a massive wild card, possibly Kareem Lopez. Everything I've read on Kareem Lopez, who is the small forward out of Mexico, he didn't even play college. Is like there's no news about him, like nothing. There's no leaks. There's no smoke. It's just basically he's going to be drafted in this range. And usually when there's like nothing coming out about a guy, he either has a promise or he is just going to go way sooner than you expect. Which Lopez would fall within that category. And a couple of the mocks all had him 11 or 10 today randomly, which makes you really think. And if he goes higher, I don't think it wouldn't be a shocker for Kareem Lopez to jump into the top 10.
All right. Anything else I missed? Anything else you think is worth mentioning?
No. NHL drafts on Friday or Thursday.
Too close together. Too close together. Although, you know what? Right. Not a lot of NBA action. What would you recommend for NHL?
NHL, there's way more to bet in NHL right now, to be honest. And there would be probably more if there probably will be more. NHL, I think. And there's Corey Pronman is like the guy that is like the Jeremiah for the NHL draft. And like DraftKings had all these over-unders set. And then Pronman came out with his mock draft a couple days ago and DraftKings literally pulled everything and reset every over-under based off his mock, which was unbelievable. But I guess, I mean, smart on their part, but also could create value. Where in the NBA draft, everything is beaten down, where everything is 5-1, 6-1, like no matter what. NHL draft, when you get into the picks 7-10, there are some 20-1s. Like Keaton Verhoeve, I think, is a good bet to go 7. I think you can get value on Viggo Bjork. These names are tough to go 10. But I mean, if you do another pod, we can do an NHL draft. But NHL, still things to uncover. But if you want to bet in the draft and you want to get those 10-1s, the 20-1s, which really don't exist in NBA anymore, NHL is probably where you want to go, which is Thursday.
At Vegas Refund on Twitter, anywhere you give out these picks, anything you want to plug or promote?
You can just go to VegasRefund.com.
All right, man. Luke, I know you're busy this time of the year. Appreciate a few minutes. Good luck. Enjoy the draft. Hopefully we win all our bets. Hopefully that's not asking too much. We just win all our bets. So I appreciate you coming on. All right, rate, review, subscribe. Back to a normal schedule. We'll be back on Friday. See you then.